Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Are you coming to the train, led by a man who wants to break the chains? Establishment is terrified, they can't control his reign. Let's meet this year on the Trump train. Are you coming to the train, where brave men called out for a wall built by crane? Media is terrified, they can't control his reign. Let's meet this year on the Trump train. Are you coming to the train, where brave men called out the fools who lead in vain? Lobbyists are terrified, they can't control our reign. Let's meet this year on the Trump train. Are you coming to the train? Wear a hat of hope, side by side with me. Make America great again, break the chains. Let's meet this year on the Trump train.
And we are going to be respected by the world again and not laughed at like we're all a bunch of stupid people being led by incompetent politicians. It's not going to go on any longer.
Are you coming to your train to take our great country back again? Join the revolution, break the chains. Let's meet this year on a Trump train.
We're going to win at the borders. We're going to win, and we're going to keep winning. And we are going to make America great again, greater than ever before. Greater than ever before.
Master Survivor, the mouthpiece of the Master Survivor University. Every Sunday morning here on RBN at 10 o'clock, I will bring you the truth about our world in order to help you survive and thrive. And that's 10 o'clock Central Time right here on Republic Broadcasting Network. I am your host, Johnny Delirious, laboratory naturopathic doctor and virus recovery expert. As you know, Johnny's gearing up for the CIA's fake alien invasion in September and the second wave pandemic lockdown in October and November. And then, for a Christmas present, the global cabal is going to convince the world of a massive asteroid collision with the planet Earth in December. All according to lockstep, deep state playbook. Yes, you got it. They're going to tell us just before Christmas an asteroid's going to destroy the Earth. This all means the elite is scrambling to survive, as they are using this back-to-back lockstep schedule to follow up on a fake pandemic, the fake news, and the fake life of this new world order the globalists want us to live. Right now, they are on their last breath, and they don't want you to know that the coming alien invasion is fake. They are already converting and covering up the truth of the fallout even before it happens by destroying or closing down all the big telescopes and observatories around the world so no professional civilian eyes are on the sky. On top of all that, they want to make sure that people of authority in NASA are cooperative and, you know, promoting the narrative, or they will get compromised with an impending scandal to keep them obedient to the alien invasion narrative plan. With the media and thought leaders chiming in, they will be getting everyone to broadcast the alien invasion narrative all down the line. Their goal is to keep the public's attention focused on fear and get them to ignore deep state criminals being caught, and most importantly, to keep people from seeing what is reality happening in space. This is their last desperate attempt to get the public in so much fear that they will submit to a full New World Order in order to save the people from the alien invasion. They are going to be pushing this hard. And I want to play a report from a very astute researcher. So Ken, get that clip ready. I want you to turn the volume up. And folks, this is from deep state journalist Daniel Litz. He talks about To the Stars Academy, which he says TTSA, so, you know, which is the UFO disclosure psyop set up by the CIA, and they talk to all the UFO people, and oh, they've been, you know, putting out. But all the things that they're putting out are these fake, hokey little tapes of, you know, these little flashes in the sky or whatever. But on this recording, whenever you hear him mention TTSA, he's talking about the Stars, To the Stars Academy, To the Stars Academy. And that's been set up to talk to all the UFO people, you know, to get them, you know, wound up about, you know, UFOs and everything. And it's a fake CIA psyop. So To the Stars Academy, whenever he says TTSA, that's what he's talking about, To the Stars Academy. And he will review all the scandals and sabotage that they've been perpetrating leading up to this big alien invasion. So right now, I want you to hear how Daniel Litz is putting this all together when he talks about, you know, the sabotage of the our CBL, you know, space telescope. And the TTSA, which is the To the Stars Academy. So, Ken, get that clip going with Daniel Litz.
Hi, everyone. It's Dark Journalist. It's great to have everyone here for this very special report that's happening. Now, this is all about space scandals, and I've been tracking these over the last month. This has involved UFOs, NASA. You know, we have these incredible telescopes that have been blowing up while monitoring ET activity. We have all the unusual things going on with SpaceX, of course, and the TTSA and this kind of CIA disclosure narrative. So we're going to get into each one of these because I think we're at a real interesting, crucial crossroads in relation to these stories. And the scandals part, including a top NASA official who has resigned because of some insider trading deals with Boeing, is really going to let us know where this report is heading. Now, we've been watching this kind of CIA-led disclosure effort going on. It's very interesting to watch as they develop the narratives and test certain things out and change out certain personnel. But largely, that's been run through the To the Stars Academy, which is a CIA-led effort co-founded by Blink-182, the former Blink-182 guitarist Tom DeLonge, with a bunch of CIA agents, basically. And that's quite literal, actually. It's over 100 years of CIA experience on the board there of TTSA. So just, you know, for those UFO research apologists who go into this and say TTSA isn't a CIA organization, it just doesn't add up with the facts. And this is what we're looking at. So it's a CIA operation about disclosure. Fine, we'll take it from there. And we see a lot of kind of media collusion with this whole narrative as well. We're watching the TTSA and the New York Times cross over a lot. And Harry Reid, the former senator from Nevada, which is where Area 51, of course, is located, and he was the Senate Majority Leader, you know, continuing to support this idea that Elizondo is an insider and ran a UFO program. So we have a lot of these types of narratives, and we have to remember the people who are running them are majority CIA. And when we get into these other areas, we're going to see intelligence assets and money really coming deep into this picture. So to get an idea of what might be going on, we're going to go through these five or six different scandals that have been happening. Now, one of the more interesting ones is this planetary defense telescope, which is the Arecibo telescope in Puerto Rico. Now, on August 10th, you know, we have to keep in mind that this is part of the NASA Planetary Defense Program. On August 10th at 2:45 in the morning, this thing got shredded completely. And the official story is that a metal cable snapped, it was slated to go through the radar disk. So this is a very shaky official story on what happened here. As we go into some of these stories about it, it looks kind of shakier and shakier. You know, some of the headlines that we've seen on this, one of them from Space News said, a NASA official warned it may take several months to repair damage to the Arecibo radio telescope in Puerto Rico caused by a broken cable. Speaking at an August 17th meeting at NASA's Planetary Science Advisory Committee, Lindsey Johnson, director of NASA's Planetary Defense Coordination Office, said he expected the giant radio telescope to be out of service for months. So it's pretty major. While Arecibo is primarily funded by the National Science Foundation, NASA does contribute funding to use the telescope as a planetary radar to track and characterize near-Earth asteroids. Now, this is interesting because it also is well known that Arecibo is set out there to send out radio transmissions in hope that we can kind of track ET messages coming in. And so to have this thing shredded is a huge should be a headline-grabbing incident. And what we've seen instead is these very kind of strange things about, oh, a cable snapped, you know, and that's all there is to it. Arecibo was set up, you know, in the 60s, but in 1974, the Arecibo message was an attempt to communicate with potential extraterrestrial life and was transmitted from the radio telescope towards different clusters that were out there in space. So, you know, SETI is related to this as well, the search for extraterrestrial intelligence. So we have a real kind of hardcore, this is the UFO telescope out there watching for these things. And suddenly, zap, it's out of commission. So I'm going to get back to some of the oddities around that story because its location and what it was tracking was very, very important before it got shut down. And we're going to get into that. Of course, on this program, you know, we spend a lot of time examining the UFO file and some of the kind of deeper secrecy around it. Whenever it gets to a true UFO incident, you always have these cover stories and, you know, you have these sort of fake disclosure narratives that are about, oh, there's a UFO threat out there. We need more funding for the CIA, which, you know, isn't going to get anyone anywhere. So these are the types of things that we do see in relation to that. Now, what I am tracking and what I think is behind the shredding of this telescope, and let me tell you, by looking at those pictures, it was shredded. And they do have an investigation. There's one story here that says investigation begins into the damage at one of the world's most iconic observatories. But it's very clear that this thing was put out of commission. Now let's get right to what I think is behind this. And it's a story that we've seen coming out. Space.com carried it just a few days ago on August 22nd. So a car-sized asteroid made the closest Earth flyby a space rock has ever survived. On Sunday, August 16th, the asteroid initially labeled ZTF-0DXQ, and now formally known to astronomers as 2020 QG, swooped by Earth at a mere 1,830 miles away. That gives 2020 QG the title of the closest asteroid flyby ever recorded that didn't end with the space rock's demise. It's the closest known non-impacting asteroid, NASA officials told Space.com. Now, the flyby wasn't expected and took many by surprise. In fact, the Palomar Observatory didn't detect this zooming asteroid until about 6 hours after the object's closest approach. So we can see quite clearly this asteroid coming in was unusual. And the, you know, Palomar, which is set up there in California and catches everything, didn't catch it till 6 hours after it almost hit. So this is quite remarkable. And the fact that the Arecibo telescope was knocked out of commission just a few days before lends the possibility that this was a coordinated effort to get that out of the way so it wouldn't see it was coming in. But what was it? That becomes the real question. Now, to take this a little further, there's a story that's just come out August 20th about a Russian astronaut on the International Space Station who claimed to see UFOs in new footage. And he's put this footage up. I have some pictures here. Ivan Vagner, a Russian cosmonaut currently orbiting Earth aboard the International Space Station, claims to have captured footage of potential UFOs while recording video of the Southern Lights. Quote, "Space guests are how I filmed the new time lapse," Vagner wrote in a tweet featuring the video on Wednesday morning. The one-minute video shows the Aurora Australis passing near Antarctica in Australia, Vagner says. However, in the video, you'll see something else, not only the Aurora, he wrote. And in fact, when we look at that, it's quite remarkable, the footage that he got. This being over Antarctica, which we already know is highly secretive, and it's very difficult to get any real reports about what's going on up there, although we know there are stations of military and defense contractors up there set up, like Lockheed Martin, for example. And their work is so secret that we just don't have access to it. But to see the idea that they are observing perhaps these UFOs going over Antarctica, because that's a pretty good place to set up a base, let's face it. Really, regardless of the conclusion, we can see very clearly that we're looking at something that would give the impression that something very mysterious happened there over the course of that week of August 20th. And let's start really taking a look at this. The Arecibo goes down. It becomes shredded, so they can't track anything with that. The Palomar Observatory Telescope misses a really dramatic asteroid miss. And it really, that asteroid, the Q2020, that is just absolutely remarkable. To think about the impact that that asteroid could have had is remarkable. Then the next thing to show up in all the midst of this is this very, very unusual story about this Russian cosmonaut catching these UFOs over Antarctica with some really startling footage, much better than the really kind of lame footage that we've been seeing in the New York Times and all these other media stations promoting this false disclosure narrative that the CIA is putting out through TTSA. And that's really, as we get deeper into this, we get more and more exposure on that. So we have to keep that in mind as we go along here. Now, on this program, we track the UFO file and the secrecy around it. It's such deep secrecy, and the narratives that have been coming out to kind of let this X technology out a little bit at a time to give little morsels to the public and deceive them that there's a UFO threat. That's all wrapped up in there. So we don't get the real truth, and whatever it is that they're putting together, for all we know, it's some kind of a false flag UFO invasion with holographic UFOs. And one of the things that a number of people have noted in relation to the coronavirus shutdown is during those lockdown days, out of nowhere, the Pentagon started to release the story again about these very lame videos, which, as I've pointed out, some of them came out as early as 2007 on YouTube. So hardly the super secret classified material that they claim to be. And that was the December 16th, 2017 release of these videos through Lou Elizondo, the CIA counterintelligence agent who's one of the co-founders of to the Stars Academy. And of course, right at the top rank there, the vice president of operations is a guy named Jim Semivan, who is 25 years CIA operational at the very top levels. This is a very deep operator. So, you know, whenever we get into the CIA on this program, we go into the deep history, taking our cue from, for example, the work of Professor Peter Dale Scott and his deep state work. We understand what the CIA is, how it came out of the Office of Policy Coordination, and how that covert wing of the CIA took over the public wing. And we've been dealing with them in government ever since as this kind of menace that's been showing up. And presidents from Kennedy to Nixon to Reagan and the current occupant of the White House have had tremendous problems reining in this agency. And now we see them coming in and sort of embracing this UFO idea, you know, and saying, oh, we're going to give a UFO disclosure through this to the Stars Academy, when just a few years ago, they were putting out stories saying, oh, remember all those lights they were seeing in the sky, you know, during the 50s and 60s? It was us, the CIA, that was doing that. We were just testing out our own equipment. And so now suddenly they become the champions after getting rid of all that history. It doesn't add up. And it's one of the most kind of insidious things going on in that field, bringing that into the mainstream in this very clumsy way to introduce a UFO threat and get funding through that. The other person I want to mention in relation to the TTSA is Chris Mellon. Now, Mellon's someone who's worked in intelligence, and he worked not only for Clinton, but also W. So these are not the kind of people that you want around a subject as sensitive as the UFO file in terms of getting transparency.
We're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
To the Master Survivor, and I'm your host, Johnny Delirious, laboratory naturopathic doctor and virus recovery expert. And I want to just continue. Daniel's a brilliant researcher. He brings the facts. And Ken, play that. Continue playing that tape.
If you wanted deception, you'd get counterintelligence agents, and that's what we have, like Lou Elizondo, for example, who have, you know, can claim as his bosses James Clapper and John Brennan, the CIA director under Obama, who was known as the Drone King, because he just couldn't help himself in terms of bombing people who were at weddings or festivities in order to get that one terrorist, you know. And they thought of the people that they would get around these things as just collateral damage. So people like Brennan, people like Clapper, who lied to Congress, are not the kind of people that we want leading this effort. But here we are surrounded by them in the UFO field with the Lou Elizondo. So this is very crucial as we get around this UFO topic to see, well, we had these unusual things happen, these space scandals developing. And in relation to this, we should look at George Knapp's interesting warning. Now, Knapp is one of these guys who's been deeply involved in reporting on the UFO subject for many years. And he goes all the way back to the Bob Lazar Area 51 stories. But for some reason, he threw in very hard with, I mean, he's a Las Vegas reporter, and he worked out there with Senator Harry Reid and people like Bob Bigelow from Bigelow Aerospace, who is, you know, part of this kind of push for UFO disclosure. And the interesting thing is that, you know, Bigelow, just like SpaceX, wants to operate out in space in that privatized kind of version of the space program. So that's in Las Vegas. And then we have Knapp reporting and bringing on Elizondo into this UFO story. And really, you know, Elizondo, for a while, the only interviews he would accept were the ones he was doing with Knapp. And there's a reason for that, because there's a lot of softball questions in there. So regardless of the kind of past that Knapp has, for some reason, he was dealing with kid gloves with Elizondo. But recently he came out with a couple of interesting tweets. I want to read them here. George Knapp on August 19th tweeted out, "Just when you think the Pentagon's public affairs and FOIA, that's Freedom of Information Act offices, may have entered a new era of truth-telling and transparency, they circle back around to take another cheap pot shot at Lou Elizondo and ATIP," which is the Advanced Aviation Threat Identification Program that Elizondo claimed to lead, and also claimed was a UFO program, even though there's no evidence of that. Now, Knapp made a couple of further very interesting comments about this, saying, "Sorry, I do not have details. Heard from a DC contact that some sort of statement is coming from DOD. Don't know from whom. Oldies but goodies about how ATIP wasn't a UFO program and Elizondo wasn't part of it. Is DOD trying to sabotage its own credibility?" And then finally, the third one, "Okay, it won't be a statement. DOD sent a detailed response to a FOIA request. I'm deferring to the person who submitted the request to share the info with the public." Now, this goes again to this kind of defense of Lou Elizondo, which I find just absolutely fascinating coming out of these circles. Over and over again, we see it. And, you know, it's interesting because any questioning of Elizondo, his past, his relationship to these programs has to be completely just cut off. You know, there's no investigation. There's no asking him the tough questions. Elizondo still works for the government. So this idea of him being a whistleblower and an outsider just doesn't add up with the fact that he still is an active member of the government. So, you know, these things don't add up. And we've seen that over and over again with TTSA. But I think what the main thrust of this that we have to really tune into is, what exactly are they designing here? What's going on with these reports? And what are the scandals that are breaking that they're trying to stop? Now, I want to look at a scandal in relation to NASA, because we were watching this whole SpaceX spectacle of sending these astronauts out finally and then landing them back for the first time since 2011. And we all know that there's 50 years of missing history here in relation to the space program, the Apollo program. The last time we had people set foot on the moon is 1972. So you have 48 years there, nothing happening. And suddenly they say, hey, we're going back to the moon. So there's no accounting for this secret development in space, this whole clandestine space operation. And we've reported on how Hughes Aerospace and other companies that were really developing this were deep into secrecy. And a lot of the companies that are involved here set up on the public dime this incredible infrastructure in space, but it's largely being privatized because the companies that are going out there are not part of NASA. You know, they're just their own individual thing. Everything from Virgin Galactic to SpaceX to Bigelow Aerospace, these are independent companies. You know, we spend all this time and energy developing a space program that John Kennedy launched with the moonshot. And then that whole thing goes black and we're supposed to just ignore that. That doesn't really add up. So let's take a look at this scandal. This gets us into an interesting one. This is U.S. criminal probe looks at former NASA officials' contacts with Boeing executive. I think this is going to be quite explosive when it hits in full, and the public understands exactly what was happening here. Federal prosecutors, this is the Wall Street Journal now from August 14th. Federal prosecutors have opened a criminal probe into whether a senior NASA official improperly told a high-ranking Boeing company executive about the status of a lunar landing contract, spurring the...
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
After about a month of Extendovite, I don't know what it is about the circulation factor. I was able to increase the weight, increase the amount of sets I could do. It has to do with the oxygen getting to the blood. You should market this as an athletic performance. And I don't change anything about my diet or anything. I just thought, this is amazing. Bilberry extract has got something called resveratrol in it, which is the same stuff that you get from red wine. It's also good for eyesight. And I was reading that the Royal Air Force during World War II would give their pilots bilberry jam so they could have better night vision stuff. This is amazing.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Are back. You are listening to The Master Survivor, and I am your host, Johnny Delirious, laboratory naturopathic doctor and virus recovery expert. And ladies and gentlemen, I want you to get this background, because you have to understand, all leading up, all year and all last year, these scandals and sabotage of telescopes and all these things, this is going to help them bring in this fake alien invasion. So we got a little bit longer. Again, Daniel's a brilliant researcher. And Ken, let's play the rest of that tape.
The company to revise its bid, according to people familiar with the investigation. Now, the person who did this is Douglas Levero, and he's the Associate Administrator for Human Exploration and Operations, or he was, before he resigned, or he was told to resign, very abruptly. And he said, oh, it was over a difference of opinion and all these different things. So for three decades, he was in the Department of Defense and the National Reconnaissance Office, developing, managing, and establishing national policy for the full range of national security space activities. Lavera is a very unusual character, and him exiting just before the SpaceX mission that sent some astronauts up to the space station is very, very unusual timing indeed. The probe now is continuing, and they're getting into the deeper aspects of this whole thing. So we're going to be keeping an eye on what's going on there with Lavero, Boeing, and why they had to get rid of this guy at NASA as the scandal was breaking, and why he wasn't really fessing up to the public about what was happening. And he was just saying, oh, it was a difference of opinion. And we find out that we're getting into criminal charges on this. It hasn't escaped my notice that Jan Harzan, who was the president over at MUFON, also was arrested recently. That happened back in July, and in relation to charges that he was soliciting a teenager. And, you know, Harzan is the president of MUFON, which is the largest and most well-defined organization that follows the UFO file. So, you know, these things all happening in succession are quite remarkable. There's a huge switch out going on here, and we really need to connect these dots to take a good look at this. Now, in the middle of all this, the Pentagon announces this UAP task force, which is going to be looking into all those UAP sightings, well, it's UFOs, right? But they have to change the name somehow. And Christopher Mellon, from the billionaire Mellon family, the big banking family, and he's the same one that I referred to earlier, who's part of TTSA, and he is the one who is really kind of corralling some of these politicians to get on board. So it's very interesting to me that he was such a big operator in intelligence with W and with Clinton, because we see both of those sides coming up, you know, on the CIA side is the Bush side and the Clinton side, really with the whole Podesta push and Tom DeLonge and all that, that came out through WikiLeaks, that they were basically, the Clinton campaign in 2016 was basically promoting this whole kind of UFO fake out aspect. And that's where DeLonge and Podesta and all this comes from. So that was a year before the 2016 election, was a year before the TTSA announced itself as a corporation. So we're looking at some very unusual pieces to that puzzle, but the Pentagon UAP task force, you know, this stuff, suddenly they got who on board with this whole thing through the Senate Intelligence Committee, Marco Rubio. And he's the senator from Florida who ran for president in 2016 and didn't get a lot of traction. But he's well known as a hawk. This is somebody who's always talking about bombing Iran or going into these other countries. So you get a real neocon there. And now he's all up for talking about a UFO threat, just like the TTSA wants to promote the UFO threat. You know, they have a program on the History Channel called Unidentified. And what does it do? It promotes the planetary threat. That's the name of one of the episodes. So over and over again, and they'll use very false circumstances in relation to this threat idea. For example, on the program Unidentified that the TTSA runs through the History Channel, they had an episode about how a UFO attacked a helicopter. And this has been just debunked over and over again. You know, we see different researchers even getting into this, like Grant Cameron, and he interviewed some of those Italian officials, and they said, you know, this has nothing to do, and I mean nothing to do with the UFO file. There was no damage to the helicopter. And further in that episode, they try to suggest that these fires in Italy were related to some like UFO firing down on it. They found some arsonists. And the stories are like from 15 years ago. So TTSA has a habit of doing this and running these kind of fraudulent narratives through these programs. That's a very CIA tactic. Just kind of putting their own spin on things and grabbing these obscure events. So I think when we're looking at, when we see all this TTSA activity and when we see the Arecibo telescope being knocked out, we see this near-Earth asteroid coming in, it tells us that there's a lot of activity that's been right on the surface there, and that these scandals run deep. You have to remember that the UFO file and the scandals around it go all the way back to the 1940s when the CIA was set up in a major way to really kind of keep these things quiet. And all the lying that's gone on ever since then has spawned all kinds of media censorship and all the rest. By the time you got to the Kennedy administration, Kennedy was very well versed in the UFO file through his relationship with James Forrestal. And Forrestal was the first defense secretary, and he supposedly jumped out of a window, but he was the one who really had taken on the full brunt of the UFO file and presenting it to the public. And he shows up in a number of these documents relating to the early secrecy around the UFO file. So what does that tell us? The fact that he was removed the way that he was, thrown out of the window at Bethesda Hospital, and Kennedy going on with this knowledge into his own presidency. And, we've had on this program, for example, the Watergate lawyer, Douglas Caddy, who said that his friend E. Howard Hunt, who was a CIA super spy, said that the reason that JFK was killed is because he wanted to bring the UFO file out and share it with different countries, et cetera. So that by the time we get to Reagan and SDI, the Strategic Defense Initiative called Star Wars, we get people like Gorbachev saying that Reagan took him aside and said, "Will you help us if there's an alien attack?" Obviously, they were developing these things with these UFOs in mind, and we need to get very clear about that and the kind of secrecy that groups like the CIA have poured over this. And now when they're coming out with this kind of watered down, wilted version of disclosure that has all these CIA attachments to it, like the threat idea, we have to say that they're gearing up for something. And that's something that we really need to be watching and paying very close attention to. What's happening here in 2020 with this kind of strange CIA version of UFO disclosure, and we're getting involved in these different things around asteroids, and we see a lot of narratives out there around the space aspect. Now, we've looked at companies like SpaceX and Amazon's Jeff Bezos doing Blue Origin and all the rest, and Starlink and all these various satellites that are being put out there. This is entirely new in our experience. We've never had that many out there, and we're really kind of creating this infrastructure, this space infrastructure, which become very powerful by all this black budget development over the past 50 years under the public's nose, and yet we couldn't get anything about it. That's why we haven't had a man on the moon since 1972. So the question is, what is that vast space infrastructure for? And that gets us into what these space scandals really are all about, because it's a very highly sensitive topic to be dealing with. Now, we're going to be covering a lot of this as we do on the X series on Friday nights at 8 p.m. I invite you to join us then. We'll be watching the stories closely for you. And we look forward to seeing you.
Thank you, Ken. And I tell you what all those instruments are. Out in space, what they developed out in space. So thank you, Ken, for playing that video, and really appreciate it. So I tell you what, all those hardware and all the stuff they're developing out there, so they can set up, this facade, make it a hologram or whatever you want to call it. And these NASA scandals have been going on longer than you think. And this is the CIA calling card. When they want to make things happen in an organization or a country, they begin to take control by starting scandals with the bosses or the top leaders. And by the 1980s, all the top NASA officials were fired or resigned. The Skylab project they wanted was soon scratched, and they had that going, but it was soon scratched. And just a few years later, they got a new NASA team and deployed with the International Space Station and started working with the Russians. Then the CIA plan was to see if they could infiltrate the Russian space program. So over the years, we've heard about various anomalies and mysterious rocket failures for Russian projects, yet all the launches they made with Americans and other foreign astronauts seem to have worked out. And, with supply and personnel being sent safely up to the International Space Station. So, yes, I believe the CIA sabotaged several Russian mission rockets. There's been sabotage to the space station. But then the Ruski said, Yankee, go home. They've had enough of that. But it bothers me to see all these telescopes around the world shutting down with sabotage. And then, of course, the COVID-19 scandal, you know, at the same time, we have a buildup of the narrative about asteroids and alien visitations or an alien attack and UFOs. So right now, they're putting all these pieces in place. Just like we saw the buildup of the COVID-19 narrative, you know, the pandemic, you know, event, you know, planning 201, you know, event 201, and then, you know, all these predictive programming they got going on. So right now they're putting these pieces in place about this whole alien invasion or an asteroid destroying Earth scenario. And then, so everything was set up, and the deep state flipped the switch, and, you know, when they set up the, you know, COVID-19, we heard little glimpses of it, you know, back in the fall. We heard about event 19, and, you know, we heard about it in January when, you know, Trump said no flights from China, and then no flights. And so, okay, and then boom, they flip the switch and the whole world comes down, locks down. And that's exactly what I see happening right now. And with this destabilization of NASA, the sabotage of telescopes, asteroids heading to Earth, and they don't get detected till they just pass by. And, you know, how the To the Stars Academy, the TTSA, is leading the way talking about UFOs. The narrative always starts with a light, joking manner to get the subject out there. So, Ken, get that tape two ready. I want everybody to hear. This is February from the Today Show. And notice how light and funny games and, oh, yeah, asteroids and, oh. Okay, Ken, play tape two. Just notice how they handle this. But this is to get it out there.
It's been a nightmare in Hollywood blockbusters for years. Asteroids hitting Earth. Or at least threatening to do it.
I want to know why we didn't see this coming.
This morning, our own close call. A giant asteroid buzzed past Earth, missing us by about 3.5 million miles. Sounds like a lot, but in cosmic terms, that's too close for comfort. About 15 times the distance of the moon from the Earth.
So it's not going to pose any hazard to us, but it's a reminder that there are objects that are out there that are large, that could potentially cause a threat.
The giant rock, according to NASA, has a diameter of about 3,200 feet. That's just about the height of the Empire State Building three times over. Space watchers say they've been monitoring this asteroid for years and never feared it.
Space is really big, and the possibility of one of these objects ever coming close enough to actually hit us and cause a problem is really, really low. So we're not in any danger at all.
Asteroids this size can do serious damage. If one hit Earth, it could set off a nuclear winter with all the dust it would shoot into the atmosphere, destroy everything around the impact zone, and set fire to part of a continent. Just ask the dinosaurs. Their mass extinction is blamed on an asteroid strike 66 million years ago.
Well, after that scary video there, we've got some good news this morning. We're in the clear for quite some time. Another asteroid isn't expected to get that close to Earth for another 100 years.
All right, so we don't have to start worrying
yeah,
until
exactly.
99 years from now.
And my wife told me about this last night.
All right, folks, you get the idea. You know, they've introduced it out there, just like in the fall. They introduced this thing about, oh, there may be this bad virus and everything, blah, blah, blah. But, oh, no, it's not a threat, blah, blah, blah. And then, boom. So let's get specific. Defying all logic, a number of telescopes and observatories around the world remain closed amid the coronavirus pandemic, while the impact risk of near-Earth objects remains at an all-time high. Over 100 telescopes have been reported to have been shut down in a move that virtually makes no sense, and now one of the largest radio telescopes, named the Arecibo Observatory in Puerto Rico, has been rendered inoperable after sustaining damage after a cable unexpectedly snapped, creating the 100-foot-long gash in the dish, and fueling the problem. So the takeaway number one, folks, in other words, in Puerto Rico, the Arecibo accident if that's what it really is, couldn't have come at a worse time, as it occurs during the period of downtime for several big telescopes due to the Fauci-Lieber Wuhan virus pandemic, making it truly the magic virus as it manages to shut down normal observation of space that is not part of the military observation of space. Now, folks, this is the big story that no one is covering. All non-military credible newsworthy observatories are closed. Hello? Are you catching on to what is happening here? And all during this period of time, there seems to be an increasing emphasis on passing asteroids. Here's takeaway number two. The White House put together and released a plan in the summer of 2018 to prepare for and mitigate an increasing number of near-Earth-bound asteroids which pose a threat to the planet, and they alerted other countries to their general plan, which is involved in the formation of the international working groups, as reported by IntelliHub in the report dated April 7, 2020. Okay, so this, you know, even you heard them, oh, there's that could never, you know, in the today's report, you say, oh, that could never happen. But now the narrative is they're saying, well, no, there's more asteroids coming. See? And so just right here, this is April 7th, you know, the White House put together and released a plan in 2018, and they're already increasing the study of the near-Earth asteroids. But now, you know, all the civilian telescopes are closed, but yet the only ones that are open are the military. So at a minimum, the report reveals that the world's governments are actively prepared for what looks like some type of incoming natural disaster, which a U.S. government insider touched upon when she called it the Shepard Umbelas show, on the Shepard Umbelas show. And a Department of the Interior employee named Becken called into the Shepard Umbelas show, where she said the Department of Defense sent out a bulletin which states that the department is preparing for and expecting to sustain damage to infrastructure due to coming climate change scenarios, i.e. Asteroids. The department insider revealed that the defense DOD internal document was designated climate change as a threat to its operations and infrastructure, and warned that something may be fast approaching. In other words, takeaway number two, folks, is that someone somewhere appears to want people to think the climate change scenario not to greenhouse gases or melting polar ice or ozone holes or anything unusual nonsense, but rather something more sudden and swift, like asteroids are coming. Listen to this February 4th video from NASA and Johns Hopkins University tell about the Dark Mission Project. And notice how they talk about redirecting asteroids. This video is a perfect example. This is this year, folks. Okay, this video is a perfect example of predictive programming. And the name of the video is Guardians of the Apocalypse, the Double Asteroid Redirection Test, or DART, constantly reaffirming the narrative that asteroids are going to hit and destroy the Earth. Notice at the end, they ask the scientists, do you feel like you're saving the world? I don't know if we have enough time to play it between the breaks, but we'll play the whole thing, whether they're breaks or not. So, Ken, if you can play that third clip, that would be great.
Something is going to hit the Earth again. There was an impact in Siberia within the last decade that was caused by an object about 20 meters across.
It broke up in the atmosphere and created a big shock wave. It was 10 times the size of the Hiroshima nuclear explosion.
It injured about 1,000 people in the town of Chelyabinsk.
Of course, if you imagine this happening with a greater population density.
The purpose of the DART mission is to take your spacecraft and you ram it into an asteroid to change the orbit so it won't hit the Earth.
We're not just trying to figure out how to deal with what's coming. No, we're actually going to go out there and we're going to try to stop it. defense is all great, but you do need to score points. Earth gets hit by asteroids and small debris all the time, but most of the asteroids break up in the atmosphere. All of the bigger asteroids have been cataloged, like the dinosaur killers that are 10 kilometers or 1 kilometers plus. At this point, what we're looking for are things that are smaller, that if they were to hit the Earth, they would create a regional impact.
Asteroid impacts that are big enough to cause damage and cause real problems are rare, but the stakes are really high. So the problem in an asteroid impact is that the Earth is going around the Sun, an asteroid is going around the Sun, and they both want to be in the same place at the same time. It's been over the past 20 years that planetary defense has started to be taken seriously after an impact into Jupiter by a comet in the mid-90s, and this impact into Siberia, I think, also opened a few more eyes. In 2016, the Planetary Defense Coordination Office was set up in NASA to demonstrate that we can do something about an asteroid impact if something is coming in. A nuclear device, for a long time, it has been the only tool that people have considered. But the concern with dispersing an asteroid is that now you have 2 or 5 or 15 things, and the pieces aren't that much smaller. What we want to do is understand those orbits for all the asteroids that might come close to the Earth, then it becomes a matter of picking the new orbit you want for the asteroid and then changing its speed. If you have 20 or 30 years to do that, then you only need to change the speed by a millimeter a second or less, and then it'll miss the Earth entirely. The purpose of the DART mission as a whole is to test how this technique of a kinetic impactor would work if we ever needed to use it to deflect an asteroid. Didymos is a binary asteroid system, so there's a main body and it has a satellite. We call those Didymos A and Didymos B. By going to a binary asteroid system for the DART mission, the scale is much smaller. Didymos B is moving around only at maybe 50 centimeters a second. So if you change the speed by a millimeter a second, that is pretty easy to measure, given our capabilities.
The awesome thing is our dartboard. Because one should have one with Didymos B on it over here, which is the main asteroid, and then Didymos B is clearly where everybody hits. So it's the counting down to the time we start the spacecraft INT, where the whole spacecraft comes together. So we're very excited. 163 days is a very short amount of time. It's insane. So DART is launching on a SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket in July of 2021. Each one of the NASA missions has, you know, the main objectives. So our most important one is redirect a moon of an asteroid. Our second most important one, change its rotation period by about 73 seconds. Our third objective is on the ground, they're going to spend some time looking at the rotational period and are able to figure out how much we changed the period. And then our last objective is when we're going to hit it, we're going to create a plume. It's called an ejecta, and people want to be able to measure how much that plume helps push the moon along the way. The DART mission is a technology demonstrator for NASA. We're demonstrating not only our first planetary defense technique, we are demonstrating the NEXT-C ion engine, we're demonstrating the rollout solar arrays, which is basically solar cells on big blankets, and they provide a lot of power to the spacecraft, and they're super lightweight. But the most important one, of course, is SmartNav, and that's what allows us to hit the asteroid. Didymos B is about 160 meters, so about the size of the Washington Monument. It takes us about 12 months to get to the asteroid. We're going at about 15,000 miles an hour, which means...
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on 24/7 with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
The Republic Broadcasting Network late night premiere show of Red Pill Hardcore is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the red pill.
You're listening to Republic Broadcast.